B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Erevin Daf Mem Aleph. We're going to start three lines from the bottom of Daf Mem Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, another question that Rabba is posing to Rav Huna. Not the first one. We've had some before on Daf Mem. V'omar Rabba, ki havinon bei Rav Huna. When we were in the yeshiva with Rav Huna, by Rav Huna, iboyalon, we had the following question. Bar beirav de Yosef b'ta'anisa b'mayla shapsa. If somebody, Talmud Chochem, or somebody he'd accepted upon himself to make to fast, and he's fasting on Erev Shabbos, on Friday. Ma'u la'ashlumi. Is it appropriate, is he supposed to or allowed to fast right to the end of the day until the onset of Shabbos? What's the question? The question is that if you're going to fast the whole Friday, you're going to come into Shabbos very hungry, very starving, bordering on suffering, and that's not an appropriate way to start the Shabbos. Lo'ihava b'yodei Rav Huna did not have the answer to Rabba. Also l'kameidu Rav Yehuda, when Rabba came to Rav Yehuda to ask him the same question, lo'ihava b'yodei, and Rav Yehuda also did not have what to say. Omar Rabba, nachze anan, let's try and find our own, let's go into this, let's discuss it, let's have a look. The Tanya we learnt in a Braisa. Tisha B'Av shechol yais b'Shabbos. If Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos, v'chein erev Tisha B'Av shechol yais b'Shabbos, or if Tisha B'Av is on Sunday, and normally on erev Tisha B'Av, the last Suda before Tisha B'Av, which we know as Suda Samafsekes, is not one that is dined lavishly. He can eat and drink as much as he wants, and even if Shabbos itself is Tisha B'Av, he eats and drinks as much as he wants. And he can put food on his table, even like a banquet fit for Shleim HaMelech. And because on Shabbos, there's no Tisha B'Av on Shabbos, there's no preparing for Tisha B'Av on Shabbos, Shabbos is a time of there's no avelos, and he can eat and drink as much as he wants. Chol yois Tisha B'Av be'erev Shabbos. What happens if Tisha B'Av itself fell on Friday? He has to fast. It's Tisha B'Av. Does he fast right to Shabbos? Mevi'in lois, the Braisa says, Mevi'in lois kebeitza v'oichel. We bring him some food the size of an egg, and he eats it before Shabbos sets in, on Friday, on Tisha B'Av. Why? In order that he should not come into Shabbos in a state of suffering. So you see here clearly in the Braisa that even a fixed fast, even one which is not only is the date fixed, but it's one which the whole Tzibur, everybody in Klal Yisrael has to fast, nonetheless, in the event that it would fall on Erev Shabbos, then one would not finish the fast in order that the first moments of Shabbos should not be experienced with suffering. Continues the Gemara Tanya, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Pamachas hayinu yeshim lifnei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda said that we were once present sitting in front of Rabbi Akiva. V'tisha b'av shechol yeis b'erev Shabbos hayo. It was a Friday that was Tisha B'Av and they were fasting. V'heviu loy beitom megulgeles. They brought to him a spinning egg. What is that? That's a lightly roasted egg. One that's roasted enough that it can actually spin. V'gom o b'loy melech, and he swallowed it without salt. He didn't want it to be too tasty. It was Tisha B'Av. And he ate this egg on Tisha B'Av. It was just before Shabbos. V'loy shayot to'iv lo. It's not even as if he was hungry for it. Elo laharis l'talmidim halocha. He wanted to show his talmidim that the halocha is that if Tisha B'Av falls on Friday, you should not go into Shabbos in a ravenous state. You should make sure to eat something before the end of the fast. Rabbi Yosi says, Mis'ane u'mashlim. Rabbi Yosi argues with what Rabbi Yehuda said, with what Rabbi Yehuda understood of what Rabbi Akiva was doing. And Rabbi Yosi said, Mis'ane u'mashlim. That if Tisha B'Av is on Friday, you fast u'mashlim, and you have to complete the entire fast right until the end of the day, even though you're going to come into Shabbos very hungry. Omar lehen Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi said to the Chachomim, What would be if Tisha B'Av is on Sunday? You can't be exact to know exactly when Shabbos, which is Erev Tisha B'Av, is over and when Tisha B'Av starts. You have to stop eating a few minutes earlier, whilst it's still Shabbos, to make sure that you don't eat on Motzeh Shabbos. That means you're mafsik, you stop eating before the end of Shabbos. And do you not agree with me, says Rav Yosi? Omru loy, so they said to him, Avol, which is a translation of the word emes, truth. You're right, of course you stop a few minutes before the end of the day. Omar lohem, so Rav Yosi said to them, Mali likonis bo kashu mu'una, mali lotzis mimeno kashu mu'una. If you're going to say that if Tisha B'Av is on Friday, that and you come to Rabbi Yehuda, Tisha B'Av on Friday, you eat something at the end of Tisha B'Av when it's still Tisha B'Av in order not to be hungry, not to be in a state of fasting when Shabbos comes in, well, why do you not have a problem with being in a state of fasting when Shabbos goes out? In the event that Tisha B'Av is on Matzah Shabbos, then you stop eating, which means that you're accepting the fast whilst it's still Shabbos. You're fasting partially on Shabbos. Why is that okay? And if you agree with me that at the end of Shabbos you can start the fast, then agree with me that you can come into Shabbos in a state of fasting, and therefore if Tisha B'Av is on Friday, there's no reason that you should have to break your fast before the end of the day. That's what Rabbi Yosi was claiming to Rabbi Yehuda. Omru loy, so they said back to Rabbi Yosi, you cannot compare the two. Im omrus lotzeis mimeno, then the fact that at the end of Shabbos, which means if Tisha B'Av is on Motzeh Shabbos, on Sunday, that we don't mind and we allow you and even require you to accept the fast a few minutes before the end of Shabbos, shari ochal v'shasa koleyim kuloi. He's not hungry, he's not ravenous, he's not starving, he's eaten the whole Shabbos. The few minutes that he's got to stop eating to make sure that he's fasting when the fast starts, we don't have an issue with that. Toimar, because of that, you're going to say likonis bokashu mu'una. You're going to compare that to a case where you fasted on Friday and you've had a whole day's fast, 24 hours of fasting, and you're coming into Shabbos and the first moments of Shabbos are in a state of suffering. You cannot compare the two. So everybody agrees that the end of Shabbos, just before the onset of Tisha B'Av and Motzeh Shabbos, we do not have an issue with the fact that he's not eating. But at the beginning of Shabbos, to receive Shabbos in a state of having fasted the whole day without breaking the fast, that's the Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of, and he said that's what Rabbi Akiva did, they would break their fast before the end of Tisha B'Av, and Rabbi Yosi said, Mis'ane o Mashlim, you keep the fast right to the end. Tosfos actually explains that Rabbi Yosi argued with Rabbi Yehuda in his interpretation of what Rabbi Akiva was doing. They all agreed that Rabbi Akiva ate this egg, this Beitza Megulgeles, on that Friday afternoon before the end of Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Yehuda assumed it was to teach his Talmidim the halacha that you don't come into Shabbos whilst fasting. Rabbi Yosi said no. Rabbi Yosi says that the halacha is that you have to fast till the end of the day. But Rabbi Akiva was dangerously ill and he was not allowed to fast any longer. He realized he has to eat to preserve his life and his health, and therefore he ate, and not in order to teach the Talmidim that you're not allowed to fast on Friday until the end of the day. Continues the Gemara, V'omar Ula halacha k'Rabbi Yosi. Ula ruled that the halacha was like Rabbi Yosi, that Rabbi Yosi says, Mis'ane o Mashlim, even if Tisha B'Av is on a Friday, you fast right till the end of the day, even though you're going to come into Shabbos in a state of suffering and hunger. Continues the Gemara, Umi of Dinon k'Rabbi Yosi. Is the practice, Ula just said the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, is the practice really like Rabbi Yosi that Mis'ane Umashlim or Aminu? This seems to contradict the Mishnah. We saw in the Mishnah in Tainis, Ein Goizrin Tainis ala Tzibur, you do not, Likatchila, in the first place, you do not make or instate or decree a series of fasts in a fashion or at a time that it's going to be Barosh Echadoshim, B'Chanukah or B'Purim, that the people are going to have to fast on Chanukah, Purim or Rosh Chodesh. V'im hischilu. If, however, the series of fasts did start, and it happened so to be that one of the fasts that the Chachomim said that they have to fast is either on Chanukah, Purim, or Rosh Chodesh, ein mafsikin. You don't stop the chain, and they can fast even on these days. Divi Reb Gamliel. Reb Gamliel says they can fast, since this is part of a series that the Chachomim of the generation then said, this is what the people have to fast for whatever reason discussed in Tainis, then they can fast. Omer Reb Meir added, Afal Pisha Omer Reb Gamliel Ein Mafsikin, even though Reb Gamliel says you don't break the series and they have to fast even if it's Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, or Purim, Moida Hayosh Ein Mashlimin. Reb Gamliel agrees that on these days, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim, you fast, but not the full day. Make sure you break your fast before the end of the day. Ein Mashlimin, you do not complete the whole fast. And the same applies to Tisha B'Av, which is on Erev Shabbos, that you have to fast, obviously, on Tisha B'Av, but make sure you break your fast before the end of the day, before the onset of Shabbos. And this is something which Reb Meir said was clear that Reb Gamliel also agreed to. And this is the custom. This is what they did. That's what it says in the Braisa. And that's not like Reb Yasi. That's like Reb Yehuda and Reb Akiva. That if Tisha B'Av is on Friday, you break your fast. V'tanya in another Braisa. La'achar p'tirosei shel Reb Gamliel. After Reb Gamliel passed away, nichnas Reb Yeshua lahofir es dvarov. Reb Yeshua, he came into the Beis HaMedrash to try and invalidate Reb Gamliel's opinion. Reb Gamliel said that Ein Mashlimin, they don't finish their fast. He wanted to change that. And Omar Reb Yechanon ben Nuri al Raglov, Reb Yechanon ben Nuri at that point stood up for Omar and he said, Chozi Ano, it seems to me, the Bosa Reisha Gufa Ozil, that the body should follow the head. We had a head, which is Reb Gamliel. We've always followed Reb Gamliel that you do not fast, you do not finish your fast on Tisha B'Av on a Friday. So you, Reb Yeshua, are trying to change that now. We're not accepting that. Kol yomov shel Reb Gamliel kovanu alocha k'moisei. All the days of Reb Gamliel, we ruled like him. That, as Reb Meir said in his name, the Ein Mashlimin. Achshav ata mevakish levatel dvarov, and now you want to undermine and invalidate his opinion? Yeshua, ein shemim locha, we're not listening to you. Sheklar nikva o halacha k'Reb Gamliel, the halacha has been established like Reb Gamliel. V'lohoya odom she'irer bedover klum, and nobody objected to the ruling that we follow Reb Gamliel. And Reb Gamliel, like we saw before from Reb Yehuda and Reb Akiva, that if Tisha B'Av is on Friday, you do not finish the fast, not like Reb Yosi. So we have a question, how can Ullah say the halacha is like Reb Yosi? Says the Gemara, b'doyrish Reb Gamliel, indeed in the generation of Reb Gamliel, Ovud k'Reb Gamliel. They were not prepared to change that. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, we're not changing, Reb Gamliel lived in our generation, we are not changing from the accepted custom of following Reb Gamliel. B'doyrish Reb Yosi. However, in the generation of Reb Yosi, that was a little bit later, then Ovud k'Reb Yosi, they would follow like Reb Yosi, and that's what Ullah said, the halacha is like Reb Yosi. Continues the Gemara. Are you suggesting that in the generation of Rabban Gamliel, it was accepted by everybody they were following Rabban Gamliel? Vatani we saw in the Braisa, Omer Rabbelozo Berb Tzodik. Rabbelozo Berb Tzodik, he said, and he lived in the same generation as Rabban Gamliel, as is apparent in the Gemara in Beit Rashi brings. Ani Oyisi Mibnei, son of Ben Binyamin. I am a descendant of son of, from the tribe of Binyamin. Pam achas chol Tisha B'Av liyos b'Shabbos. At one point, Tisha B'Av itself was on Shabbos. V'dachinu l'achar Shabbos. As we know, if Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos, and we saw at the beginning of this Omud, if Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos, you do not fast on Shabbos. Instead, you fast on Sunday. V'is'aninu boy, we fasted on Sunday, which was the 10th of Av. V'lo yishlamnu. And we did not fast the whole day Sunday. Why? And this is something which is discussed elsewhere. It's a Gemara in Tainis that different people, they had a slot, an allotted time where they would bring different offerings woods to the Beis HaMikdash, and the day and the times that they would bring these woods would be for them, for that family, would be a Yom Tov. And it so happened to be that the family of Sinov, from the tribe of Binyamin, their allotted time to bring the woods to the Beis HaMikdash was on the 10th of Av. For them, it was a Yom Tov. And here we have the 10th of Av, which was on Sunday. Everybody was fasting on that day because they couldn't fast on Tisha B'Av, which was on Shabbos. And this family said, it's our Yom Tov, we're not completing the fast. That's what it says in the Braisa. Mipnei sheYom Tov shelonu hayo, it's our Yom Tov. Time with the Yom Tov. Okay, we can understand that. It's your Yom Tov. You can't fast the whole day on Yom Tov. You break your fast. Ha'erev Yom Tov. Mashlimin. However, what happens in every other year? Nothing to do with Shabbos. Every year, their Yom Tov was on the 10th of Av. On the 9th of Av, everybody fasted. So every Tisha B'Av was the Erev Yom Tov for them. Were they allowed to come into their Yom Tov in a state of suffering? If they were not allowed to come into Yom Tov in a state of suffering, that means every single Tisha B'Av, this family, would have to break their fast at the end of Tisha B'Av, before the end of Tisha B'Av. Time of the Yom Tov, Ha'er of Yom Tov, Mashlimin. You see clearly from here, nobody would have suggested that indeed they break their fast every Tisha B'Av. You see that there's no problem of coming into a fast, coming into a Yom Tov, in a state of fasting. And this is contrary to what we saw before from Rabban Gamliel, that Ein Mashlimin, that you're not allowed to come into Shabbos in a state of fasting, and that would allow you to break your fast Tisha B'Av if Tisha B'Av was on Friday. So here you've got this person, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadik, in the generation of Rabban Gamliel, and every Tisha B'Av they would fast, even though they would come into their own private Yom Tov, which was the 10th of Av, in a state of suffering. So you see, that's not like Rabban Gamliel. According to Rabban Gamliel, in the same way as one breaks one's fast at the end of Tisha B'Av if it's Shabbos, so too they would break their fast of Tisha B'Av because it's the eve of the 10th of Av, which is a Yom Tov for them. Omer Ravina says there's a fundamental difference between Rabbi Gamliel and the case of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadik. Shani Yom Tov shel Divrim, mitoich shemis anin boy shois mashlimin boy arvios. So it's very different. The Yom Tov of these families that would bring the woods to the Beis HaMikdash, the halacha of those Yomim Tovim were that one was allowed to fast for part of the day. They were just not allowed to fast the whole day. So in the same way as you can fast for any amount of time, any hour in the middle of the day, then so too you could fast the first hour of the day, which means that you can come into this Yom Tov, the 10th of Av, which was their Yom Tov, you could come in a state of fasting. Therefore, it's not a problem. However, Shabbos, in the case of Shabbos, hoyel v'ein mis'anin boi shois, one is not allowed to fast at all, even just an hour or two on Shabbos, you're not allowed to fast. You don't have to eat the whole Shabbos, but you're not allowed to be in a state of fasting. And therefore, ein mashlimin boi arvios, therefore we have to make sure not to come into Shabbos in a state of fasting. And that's what Rabbi Gamliel said, that the end of Tisha B'Av, if it's Shabbos, make sure you're not fasting. But at the end of Tisha B'Av, which is the 10th of Av, which is this Yom Tov of this family, it's not a problem to be fasting, because those type of Yom Tovs, for these families, they were allowed to fast part of the day. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rav Yosef. Loi shemir li ha'shmaita. Rav Yosef says, I didn't hear this quote that Ullah said the halacha was like Rav Yosef. Omar le Abaya. Abaya said to Rav Yosef, that you, Rav Yosef, unfortunately, you're suffering from forgetfulness, which is something we found, unfortunately, Rav Yosef suffered from that. And often his Talmidim would remind him of the things he had previously said and now forgotten. So Abaya said to him, At Omras Nialon, you told us that the halacha was like Rabbi Yosi, and I'll even tell you in what circumstances you told us, what we were learning at the time. V'aha Omras Lahon, the Nialon, you told it to us when we were learning the following, Ein Goizrin Tainis, we already saw this before. This was a Mishnah in Tainis. Ein Goizrin Tainis ala Tzibur, one does not lekatchila make a series of fasts that the Tzibur have to fast, Barosh Yechadoshim, v'chulei. Not on Rosh Chodesh, not on Chanukah, not on Purim. And this was the Mishnah that we saw that we saw before, and the Mishnah continues, v'mischilu, but if for whatever reason the series did start, ein mafsikin, they're allowed to fast on those days, divrei Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Meir said that Rabbi Gamliel said that you're not mashlim. You don't have to finish the fast, you're not supposed to, you're not allowed to finish the fast if it's Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, or Purim. V'chein Tisha B'Av shecholiyos be'erev Shabbos, and the same applies to Tisha B'Av, which is on a Friday, you do not finish the fast. That's the Mishnah that Rav Yosef was teaching the Talmidim, v'omrino nalo. And concerning this Mishnah, we saw Omer Rav Yehuda Marav. It was Rav Yehuda. It's important to remember it was Rav Yehuda. And it's important to remember what he said in the name of Rav. Zu divrei Rav Meir. That's the opinion of Rav Meir. We saw in that Mishnah that Rav Meir said that according to Rabban Gamliel, Ein Mashlimin, Rabban Gamliel himself just said that if the Chachomim made a series of fasts and one of them happened to be on Purim, Chanukah, or Chedesh, you're allowed to fast. And Rav Meir said that even though Rav Gamliel said you're allowed to fast, you don't need to finish your fast. Here, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that that's only Rav Meir's opinion, Sh'omar Mishum Rav Gamliel, that he said in the name of Rav Gamliel. Aval Chachomim Oimrim, however, Rav Yosi, who Rav Yehuda Omar Rav called Chachomim because he wanted to make it clear that everybody knew that we paskin like this, we rule like this, that, and that's why he called Rabbi Yosi by the term Chachomim, Oimrim, Misane or Mashlim. Rabbi Yosi argues with what we saw there from Rabbi Meir in the name of Rabban Gamliel, and he held that on these fasts, you are Mashlim, as we saw before. Rabbi Yosi says that if Tisha B'Av is on Erev Shabbos, you're Misane or Mashlim. My love, Akulu. Can we not take it for granted that if Rav Yehuda Omar Rav said that the Chachomim, who argue with what Rav Meir said, and they say Misane or Mashlim, that is talking about all the things that Rav Meir said in the name of Rabban Gamliel, that you do not complete your fast, the Chachomim, namely Rabbi Yosi, holds that you don't break the fast. You fast till the end. And in what cases was Rav Meir talking about? He was talking about Chanukah, Purim, Rosh Chodesh, and then he added in, and Tisha B'Av, that was on a Friday. So can we not assume that Rabbi Yosi says that in all those four cases, you have to finish the fast? And Rav Yehuda Omar Rav called Rabbi Yosi Chachomim in this context to tell us that halachas like Rabbi Yosi. And this is what you, Rav Yosef, taught us. That means you, Rav Yosef, you obviously knew that there's a Rav Yosi, which Rav ruled that way, calling him Chachomim, the halach is like Rabbi Yosi, that even Erev Tisha B'Av, even Tisha B'Av, that's on Erev Shabbos, you have to fast until the end of the day. The halach is like Rabbi Yosi, exactly what Ullah said. Says the Gemara Loi, you cannot bring proof to that, because it could be that what Yehuda Omar Rav was talking about was only talking about Chanukah, Purim, and Rosh Chodesh. Only there, Rabbi Yehuda Omar Rav said in the name of Rabbi Yosi, calling him Chachomim, that you're allowed to, or you're supposed to, finish the entire fast because it's only Chanukah, Purim, or Rosh Chodesh. Loi, a Chanukah, Purim, it's only going on Chanukah and Purim, and even more so on Rosh Chodesh, it's even an easier time to fast. But on Tisha B'Av, which is a fast for everybody, which is a fixed fast, maybe in that case, Rabbi Yehuda Omar Rav would not have said in the name of the Chachomim, he would not have called Rabbi Yosi Chachomim in this context to say that you're allowed to fast until Shabbos. And therefore, you cannot bring proof from Rabbi Yehuda Omar Rav that he rules that if Tisha B'Av is on Erev Shabbos, that indeed you fast right till the end of the fast. And Hochanami Mestabra, this is probable, like we just said now, that indeed what Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that he quoted Rav Yosi calling him Chachomim, that you have to finish the fast, indeed it was only talking about Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah and Purim, but not necessarily talking about Tisha B'Av. Why is that probable? The Isal Kadaito Chakulu, if it's clear that Rav Yehuda Omar Rav held that even regarding Tisha B'Av, Rabbi Yosi holds that you have to finish the fast, Haboyim Minei Rabba Mir Rav Yehuda. Do you remember this Rav Yehuda at the beginning of the Gemara today? Daf Mem Amud Beis at the bottom. Rav Yehuda was actually asked by Rabba, what's the halacha? If Tisha B'Av is on Erev Shabbos, do you finish your fast? And we saw the last line on Daf Mem Amud Beis, Rav Yehuda said, Lo Hava B'Yodei, he didn't know. And here you're saying that Rav Yehuda and here you've got the same Rav Yehuda who's saying in the name of Rav that the Chachomim Oimrim Misane Omashlim. And if it's clear to you that he's also talking about Tisha B'Av being on Erev Shabbos, why did Rav Yehuda not answer that? He knew. So it must be, we understand from here that what Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that the halacha is like Rav Yosi, that Misane Omashlim is only regarding Chanukah, Purim, and Rosh Chodesh, not regarding Tisha B'Av on Erev Shabbos. Rav Yehuda didn't know. So obviously Rav Yehuda here, who's ruling like Rav Yosi, was not necessarily referring to Tisha B'Av and Erev Shabbos. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Okay, so you think you've made, everything works out now, and you don't have proof from here that Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, that Rav Yosi, or that the halacha is like Rav Yosi regarding Tisha B'Av and Erev Shabbos. And then everything is okay. Then we understand why Rav Yehuda didn't have the answer when Rabbah asked him. In a few lines, another five lines from here, we're going to see that Marzutra said in the name of Rav Huna that halacha misanim umashlim. That the halacha is that, says Rav Huna, that on Tisha B'Av, on Erev Shabbos, you have to complete the whole fast. That's something which is going to be very clear in a few lines. How are you going to understand that? Haboy minei Rabba mi Rav Huna. Right at the beginning of the Gemara, even before Rabba asked Rabbi Yehuda, he asked Rav Huna, what's the halacha? If Tisha B'Av is on Erev Shabbos, do you finish the fast or not? Rav Huna also didn't know. Well, here you have an explicit Rav Huna that says that Misane Umashlimin, Tisha B'Av and Erev Shabbos, you have to finish the fast. How are you going to explain that? Why did Rav Huna then not answer to Rabba? Haboy minei Rabba mi Rav Huna. Did Rabba not ask Rav Huna? V'loi poshat le, and Rav Huna didn't have the answer. How are you going to explain a seeming contradiction in Rav Huna? Elo, it must be ha mekamei deshama ha lebosor deshama. It must be that initially Rav Huna didn't know. Later he heard what Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, and Rav said, Aval chachomim oimrim misane umashlim, and they understood that he meant even Tisha B'Av and Erev Shabbos, that you have to finish your fast. And after that, once Rav Huna heard that Rav said this way, ruled this way, then Rav Huna said, halacha misanin umashlimin, as we're going to see in a few lines. So the Gemara is saying, hochanami, if so, regarding Rav Yehuda also, ha mikami deshama, ha lebosa deshama. It could be that when Rav Yehuda or Merav said at the bottom of Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, that the chachomim oimrim misanin umashlim, referring to Rav Yosi, the halacha is like him, even Tisha B'Av on Erev Shabbos, you have to finish the fast. You said that it's not likely that that's the pshat, because Rav Yehuda himself, at the beginning of the sugya, didn't know what the halacha was. It's okay, at the beginning he didn't know, like Rav Huna didn't know. And when they both heard what was said in the name of Rav, that the halacha is like Rav Yosi, even on Tisha B'Av on Erev Shabbos, that you have to finish your fast, at that point on, they both knew that that's the halacha. And therefore, it conforms with what Ula said, halacha is like Rav Yosi, that on Tisha B'Av and Erev Shabbos, you have to finish the fast. Says the Gemara, Dorash Marzutra Mishmeid Rav Huna, Marzutra said in the name of Rav Huna, halacha misanin umashlimin, if Tisha B'Av is on Erev Shabbos, you fast and you have to finish the fast till the end, like Rav Yosi, and the same as Ula Paskin this way, and that's the halacha. Hadron aloch bakil ma'arvin b'siyata d'shmai. We finished perek bakil ma'arvin. In Yirtz Hashem, we're going to do chazora on perek bakil ma'arvin, and we're going to start the next perek. Says the Mishnah, Misha hoitzi'uhu nochrim oy ruach ro'o ein loy elo dalad amus. And let's just have a short introduction, and then the whole next Gemara is going to become clear to us. We know that a person is not allowed to go outside the tchum, wherever he is situated, wherever his place of residence is at the onset of Shabbos, he's allowed to go 2,000 amos beyond there. If his place of residence happens to be in a Roshus HaYochid, which is maybe very large, or in a city even, irrespective of whether it's Roshus HaYochid or Roshus HaRabim, but it's in a city, then the whole city is considered like just 4 amos in this context of Tchumin, and beyond the city, we'll learn more about that later on in the Masechta, how you measure it, but beyond the city, you can go up to 2,000 amos, and that's it. And this is nothing to do with carrying. This is to do with walking, with going. You're not allowed to go outside your tchum on Shabbos. If somebody did go outside the tchum, then the halacha is, the dry halacha is, he's not allowed to go more than 4 amis. Wherever you land, if for good or bad reasons you're outside the tchum, then wherever you are, you have to stay there till the end of Shabbos. You can move around within 4 amis from where you are, but not more than that. And that's the basic halacha of tchumin. Now, what we're going to discuss now is there are two different options, and the truth is there are three different possibilities of how or why a person left the tchum. Either yotza bo'inus, he left the tchum and he had no choice whatsoever. Somebody dragged him out, pulled him out, we'll soon see. Or he left b'shoigeg, he left by mistake, he didn't realize where the end of the tchum was, he left by mistake. Or he left on purpose, and he was not allowed to do that, but he intentionally went beyond the tchum. Those are three different options of leaving the city, of leaving the tchum. And for the first sugya here, we're going to just be discussing till the end of this, till almost the end of the Amud, we're not going to be discussing Shoigig, we're going to be discussing either Mezid, deliberately leaving the Tchum, or Oynus. Now, once you're out of the Tchum, there's four different options, and they have halachic ramifications. Number one, you're out of the Tchum, what now? And that we said, you can go Dalet Amis, not more than that. How about if you came back into the tchum? You're not allowed to come back into the tchum, because once you're out of the tchum, you're not allowed to go more than 4 amis. What happens if you came back into the tchum? What happens now to the halachas? So there's three different possibilities of how you came back to the tchum. Either you came back bo'inus, we'll soon see, somebody forced you back into the tchum, or you came back b'shoigeg, which is something we're going to see later on in the sugya. Or you came back b'mezid. You deliberately, even though you knew you were not allowed to come back into the tchum, you went back into the tchum. Which means that there's, as we said, there's three different ways of leaving the tchum. Oynus, shoigeg, or mezid. And then after you've left the tchum, there are four options. Either shaloi bim koimoi, which means you stay outside the tchum. What are your halachas outside the tchum? Or bim koimoi, which means you came back into the tchum in one of three ways, either b'mezid, or b'shoigeg, or b'oinus. And those are all the options, and we're going to discuss them now. Says the Mishnah, mi shoytzi'uhu nochrim, if goyim took a person and dragged him outside the tchum, or if some evil spirit deranged this person, he lost his mind, and he left the tchum, that's considered oinus. Even though he left the tchum ba'oinus, he didn't want it, he didn't choose it, it was not voluntary, he only has 4 amis, that's the halacha of tchum. Obviously, if it's pikuach nefesh, and we'll soon see there might be other cases when he can come back into the tchum, but technically speaking, that means the dry halacha is, you have to stay in those 4 amis. Hechziruhu, that means, if not only it was yotza ba'oinus, but he came back in ba'oinus, hechziruhu, if those goyim that forced him out of the tchum now forced him back into the tchum. So he's back b'mekoymoy, he came in ba'oinus, ki'ilu lo yotza. It's as if he didn't leave the tchum and he can go around the whole 2,000 amis and he can, if he's in the city, he can go wherever he wants. Hoylichu le'ir acheres. If these goyim, they took this person out of the tchum, but they didn't leave him in the middle of nowhere. They dragged him outside the tchum to another city. Or, nosnuhu bedir oy besahar, they put him into a type of a pen, a type of an enclosure which is fit for animals, but either way it's an enclosure. And that's why they left him. In these cases, there's a machlokes. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah oimrim, mahalich es kula. You're not back in your tchum, you've left your tchum, and now you only have Dalet Amos. But since they forced you into this area, into this enclosed area, or into a city, then Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, you can walk around anywhere you want in the city or in the closure in this dir or sahar. Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, Oimir, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, they argue with them in Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and they say, Ein lo elo daled amos. You're outside the tchum. The halacha is that if you go outside the tchum, even if you're in a Roshus Hayochid, even if you're in an enclosure, even if you're in a city now, you're not allowed to walk beyond the four amos that you're in now. So that's a machleikus. That means the machleikus is in a case where Yotzo ba'oinus and loy chozar. He didn't come back to his tchum. He's outside the tchum. If he came back ba'oinus, that was the first case we saw in the Mishnah, Yotzo ba'oinus and chozar ba'oinus, it's ki'iru lo yotzo. Those are the two alochas we've had so far. Again, Yotzo ba'oinus v'chozar ba'oinus, ki'iru lo yotzo. Yotzo ba'oinus and he didn't come back, you only have Dalad Amis. If the Yotzo took you to a place which is an enclosure, that was a machlekas, whether you only have the four Amis or if you can walk around the entire enclosure. Continues the Mishnah. Maisa Shebo Miplandarsin, that they came from this place called Plandarsin, Vefliga Svinosom Bayom, and they had not intended starting their journey on Shabbos. But he fligo ba'oinus, the ship just drifted away from the shore into the sea outside, beyond the tchum, beyond 2,000 amis. So that's called a yotza ba'oinus. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, holchu eskula. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, they held that they could walk around since they were in a ship, and the ship itself was a Roshus HaYochid, they could walk around the whole ship, even though they had now left their tchum. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, lo yizozu midalad amis. And Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, they didn't want to go out of their dalad amis. And these opinions seem to conform with what we saw before, that if somebody leaves the tchum ba'oinus, and he's now in a place that's enclosed, then we saw that Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says you can walk around the entire enclosure, and they did that on this boat. And Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua say, Ein lo elo daled amos. So on this boat, they did not want to go around the boat. And then the Mishnah adds in, Sherotzu lahachmir al atzman. They wanted to be stringent on themselves, and therefore they didn't go out of daled amos on this boat. And we're going to see on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis that what it means, Sherotzu lahachmir, it seems that it was just a chumrah, it was a stringency. It seems that they held that you're not allowed to go outside the daled amos, not just a stringency they took upon themselves. We'll see that in the Gemara later. Continues the Mishnah, Pam achas lo nichnasu lenomil. They were at sea, and they came to shore, they came to land, after it was already night, after it was Shabbos already. Omru leil Rabbi Gamliel, so the people on the boat asked Rabbi Gamliel, Ma onu leirid, are we allowed to disembark? This is outside the tchum, it's way beyond the tchum. During Bein Hashmashos, they were more than 2,000 amis away from this, from the land. And now they're not allowed to travel this far. The boat came to the shore. It's outside where they were at the onset of Shabbos, outside their tchum. Are they allowed to disembark? Omar Lohen, Reb Gamliel, was very forward-thinking, and he responded to them. He said, "Mutorim atem, we can all disembark." Shekvao yisi mistakil. When Shabbos came in at Bein Hashmoshes, I was watching, and I saw exactly how far we were from the land. Voyinu b'teich ha-tchum. We were already within the tchum of the shore during Bein Hashmoshes, ad sheloi chasheicha, before it became dark, and therefore disembarking is not a contradiction to being to the tchum. And therefore they could all disembark. Says the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Gimel Dvorim Mavirin es Odom al Daitoi. There are three things that cause a person to violate even his own mind, his own will. Valdas koinoi, and to violate the will of his master, of Hashem. Eluhin, oivdei kechavim, idol worshippers, they cause a person to go against his own will and against Hashem's will. Veruach ra, or an evil spirit. Vedikduke anias, or the exactions of poverty. A very poor person sometimes can go out of his mind. Lemainaf kemina, What's the purpose? What is there to be gained by knowing this? Lemi berach mi'alayu. We have to beg mercy for the people in this bracket, the people who are under the influence of Aveda Zara, or under the influence of evil spirits, or who are poverty stricken. We have to daven for them because they're very much at risk of going out of their minds. Continues the Gemara. Gimel ein roin pnei gehenim. There are three people who go through so much suffering in this world that they do not need to see the face of Gehenim in the next world. Eluin diktuke anius. People who are under the exactions of poverty, that they suffer a lot from poverty. V'chele me'ayin, or people who have stomach illnesses, intestinal disorders. Varoshus, which Rashi explains means creditors. If there are people constantly running after them, that they should pay their debts and they cannot afford it, they don't have the money to pay back. These people go through so much suffering that any averus they may have done, they've already been atoned for and they will not have to go to Gehenna. V'yesh omrim, others say, af mish yesh lo isha ra, even also somebody who has a bad wife is suffering enough that he's not going to see Gehenna. V'idach, and the first opinion that did not include a bad wife as being a reason to save her husband from seeing Gehenna, isha ra mitzvah legarsha. He holds that you've got a bad wife, there's a mitzvah to divorce her, and therefore you could escape your sorrows. You don't need to stay in your sorrows, and therefore there's no guarantee that this husband will not see Gehenna. V'idach, and this opinion that says that having a bad wife will prevent the husband from seeing Gehenim. Why does he say that? Why did he just not divorce her? Zimnin de ksubosa maruba, sometimes the amount he's going to have to pay her, it's called ksuba. We'll learn more about this in Maseches Ksubas. But the amount he's going to have to pay her is so exorbitant, is so much, he cannot afford it. He cannot divorce her. So he cannot run away from his sorrows. He's stuck in them. And somebody who's in these challenges and cannot get away from them, it will atone for his averus. Inami isle bonimino, or it could be that he's got children with this bad wife, and if he's got children with her, he cannot divorce her, or he doesn't want to divorce her, and he'll stick it with her, and the suffering he's going through is going to atone for his sins, and he will not see Gehenna. V'loi motzi megarish lo, these are reasons why he cannot divorce her, and therefore he'll keep her, and it will save him from Gehenna. L'mai nafki mina, what's the point in telling us these facts? In order that a person should know that even though you may be going through tremendous suffering, it's saving you from a lot of anguish and pain in the next world. You should accept the challenges and the suffering with love. Others say it's a condition. We tell this to a person because it will only atone for his sins if he accepts them with love and with the understanding that it's atoning for his sins. If he's just bitter about his suffering all the time, then it may not work. Shloisha Mesim Kashain Mesaprin. There are three people who, even when they're at the height of their strength, they're even talking. Some people are very old and very frail, very fragile, very sick. They cannot talk anymore. And as nature has it, they pass away. But there are some people that, even though they're really healthy and they're still talking and everything, nonetheless, they could suddenly pass away. Ve'eluhein, choyle me'ayin, somebody who's suffering from stomach issues, v'chaya, or a woman, postnatal complications, or v'hadroikon, an illness called hadroikon. L'may nafkimina, what's the point of telling us, of giving us this information? L'shemushe buhu zavdosa, in order that one should know that when these people are in these situations, one can start preparing the shrouds for them, because it's very possible that they're not going to make it. I imagine the reason that the Gemara brought all this now, this Braisa, is because in the Mishnah it mentioned that somebody left the Tchum Ba'oinus because of he was deranged, he was under the influence of Ruach Ra, an evil spirit, and then we have a Braisa that says that an evil spirit can make a person violate his own will, and therefore going out of the Tchum is considered an Oinus. Continues the Gemara. And we're now going back to the topic of the Mishnah of the Eruv, Tchumin. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Shmuel. Yotzo ledas, ein le elo daladamas. Rav Nachman or Mashmuel said, if somebody goes out of the tchum, bedas, till now in the Mishnah we were only talking about somebody who left the tchum b'oinus, and we discussed one case where he didn't come back, and one case where he came back b'oinus. Now we're talking about what happens if he left b'rotzin, b'mezit. Yotzo ledas, ein lo elo da ledamis. A big chiddush of Nachman says in the name of Shmuel, you only have four amis. Asks the Gemara, it's poshut, it's self-understood from the Mishnah. Hashta misho yitzi'u nochrim ein lo elo da ledamis. If a person left the tchum b'oinus, he was dragged out by the goyim. Nonetheless, he only has da ledamis. He's not allowed to walk outside his four amis. Yotzo ledas miboya. Of course, if he goes out b'mezid with full knowledge and awareness, of course, he cannot walk around more than four amis. So what are you, Rav Nachman or Mashmuel, trying to teach us? Elo, say it differently. Eima, what did Rav Nachman or Mashmuel say? Chozar lodas, ein lo elo dalad amis. Which means that we're talking about he left the tchum ba'oinus. The goyim schlepped him out. But he came back, not ba'oinus. Even though he was not allowed to go out of his dalad amis, he was not allowed to come back into the tchum. He came back, b'das. He's only allowed to go Dalad Amis, even though he's back in the Tchum. Says the Gemara Nami Tanina. That's also apparent from the Mishnah. What did we see in the second case in the Mishnah? We saw in the second case of the Mishnah that if he left Ba'oinus and he came back Ba'oinus, in that case, Ki'ilu lo yotzo, he can roam around the city where he came from as if he had never left. But that's only because he came back ba'oinus. But had he come back not ba'oinus, had he come back b'mezid, b'rotzen, and b'issa, then we're not going to let him ki'ilu lo yotzo, he only has dalad amis. Chichziru nochrim, it's only because the goyim ba'oinus forced him back into the tchum that he was when Shabbos came, ki'ilu lo yotzo, only then we say it's as if he never left the tchum. However, chziru, not however, it's only because they brought him back, that's why it's ki'ilu lo yotzo. Aval hoitzi'u nochrim, but if the goyim took him out, v'chozar ledas, and he came back in on his own accord, ein le'elo daladamis, we can deduce that from the Mishnah, what are you, Rav Nachman or Mashmuel, trying to teach us? Elo eima, a third option. Yotzo ledas, v'hichziruhu nochrim. We're talking about where he left not ba'oinus, he left b'mezid. But, and there was the goyim, they were the ones that schlepped him, that brought him back in. Yotzo ledas v'hichziru nochrim. He was brought back in ba'oinus. Ein le'elo dalad amis. In that case, you only have dalad amis. Says the Gemara Nami Tanina, that's also apparent from the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, hoitzi'uhu v'hichziru ki'ilu lo yotzo. When do we say it's as if he never went out? If ba'oinus they dragged him out, and ba'oinus they brought him back. Hoitzi'uhu v'hichziruhu ki'ilu lo yotzo. Only because it was an oinus when he left, and an oinus when he came back. That's why it's as if he never left. Aval yotzo ledas, but if he left bidas, even though he came back in ba'oinus, loy, we won't say it's ki'ilu lo yotzo, he'll only have dalad amis. So what are you of Nachman or Mashmuel coming to teach us? Says the Gemara, no. Here we have to put a stop, and there is an element of chiddush in Rav Nachman or Mashmuel. Let's recap. What are the two cases we saw in the Mishnah? The first case in the Mishnah was that he left ba'oinus, and he didn't come back. The halacha is yoni as dalad amis. What was the second case? The second case was hichziruhu. If they brought him back into the tchum, ki'ilu lo yotzo, it's as if he never left. The question is, hichziruhu, is that a continuation of the first case? That not only did they take him out, ba'oinus, they also brought him back, ba'oinus, and that's why ki'ilu lo yotzo? Or maybe it's a totally independent case. One case is, if they took him out of the tchum, ba'oinus, he only has dalad amis. There's another case. If he ever came back into the tchum, ba'oinus, from the goyim, irrespective of whether he left ba'oinus or if he left b'rotzoin, it doesn't matter. It's ki'ilu lo yotzo. We can entertain two ideas of reading these words, hichziruhu ki'ilu lo yotzo. And that is what Rav Nachman or Mashmuel was coming to teach us. He was coming to tell us, Ma'odotem, I may have thought, Litzdodim k'toni, that these words, Hirziru, Ki'ilu lo yotza, is a total independent statement. That whenever he came back into the Tchum Bo'inus, he's always Ki'ilu lo yotza, he can go round the city as if he never left. And irrespective of when he left Bo'inus, or he left Baratzoin, and we would then understand the Mishnah as follows, Misho itzuhu nochrim, if the Goyim took him out Bo'inus, v'chozar l'das, and he came back b'das, not Bo'inus, then ein le'e lo daladamis, he'll only have daladamis. Aval yotzo l'das, but in a case where he left b'das, he left b'mezid, v'hichziru nochrim, and the goyim brought him back Bo'inus, ki'ilu lo yotzo, maybe in that case is what the Mishnah says, ki'ilu lo yotzo. Komash malon, that's what Nachman or Mashmuel is coming to teach us, that in this case, he only has Dalad Amis. Since he left Bemezid, even if he came back in Bo'inus, he only has Dalad Amis. The only case where you do not have Dalad Amis and you can go round as if you never left, is if you also left Bo'inus and you also came back Bo'inus. In that case, it's Ki'ilu lo yotza. Continues the Gemara. Bo'im minei mi Rabba. They asked Rabba the following question. What happens if a person is outside the Tchum? Let's say the Goyim forced him out of the Tchum. And now he's only allowed Dalad Amis, he's not allowed more than that. But he needs to relieve himself, he needs to find himself a private place where he can relieve himself. He has to leave his Dalad Amis. What's the halacha? Ma'u, omalohem. So Rabbah answered back, when it comes to human dignity, human respect, then it overrides the mitzvah min ha-Torah of listening to the Chachomim. And since it's the Chachomim that said he's not allowed to go outside the Dalad Amos if he left the Tchum, for the sake of human dignity, human pride, the Kvoid HaBriyos, he's allowed to go out of his Dalad Amos. Omra Naradoi, in Naradoi they said, I pikechu, if he's a wise person, ayel l'tchuma, whilst looking for a place to relieve himself, he's going to go in the direction of his tchum, which is the area that he should have stayed in on Shabbos. The goyim forced him out. But if you're already looking where to relieve yourself, head in that direction. And if you cannot find a place to relieve yourself before you re-enter your original tchum, kiven de'ol, once you're back into your tchum, then it's as if you never left the tchum, because you left the tchum initially bo'inus. Now it's true that the goyim are not the ones who bo'inus forced you back in, but your need to relieve yourself and your permission to go outside your four amos to find a place to relieve yourself compares you to coming back in bo'inus. And we saw before, if you leave bo'inus and you come back bo'inus, ki'ilu lo yotzo, it's as if you never left. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Papa. And now there's one. We're continuing in the same theme that we've learned till now, but there's one little detail. Number one, we're going to add in Shoigig. Till now, we only had Badas, which is Mezid, or Bo'inus, if the Goyim, or Ruach Ra, and he left Bo'inus. Now we're going to introduce the concept of Shoigig, that he left or came back by mistake. Another thing we're going to introduce now is the concept of a person's utensils, his belongings, his food items, anything that belongs to a person, then those items are not allowed to leave the tchum. That means the tchum that a person's belongings are allowed to go on Shabbos have exactly the same boundaries as its owner's own tchum. Omer of Papa, Peiros sheyotzu chutz l'tchum. If somebody intentionally took the fruits, and let's assume that it's the balabais, it's the owner of the fruits, intentionally took his produce, his fruits, outside of the tchum. V'chozeru, and then he intentionally brought them back in, which means he was yotza b'mezid and hirzer b'mezid. Rav Papa is saying a bit chiddish. Afilu b'mezid lo hifsidu es mekoimon. Then they have not lost their original tchum and the original allowance to go around anywhere within their original tchum. even though they were taken out of the tchum b'mezid and they came back b'mezid. Why? Mai tama anusim ninu. These poor apples, they had no choice. They couldn't stop themselves being taken out. The owner taking out the apples is no different to a goy taking a yid out. They were forced out by the owners. And when they were brought back in, it's an mezid on the part of the owners. But these poor apples, they were brought back into the tchum b'oinus. Therefore, we said before, somebody who leaves b'oinus and comes back b'oinus, ki'ilu lo yotza. That was the chiddush of Rav Papa. Eisvei Rav Yosef bar Shmayel Rav Papa. Rav Yosef bar Shmaya is going to ask against Rav Papa from a brisa. And before we see the brisa, and this is going to take us to the middle of the next omud, to the end of the sugya, before we see it inside, let's just introduce what we're going to come up with now. We're discussing fruits. If fruits were taken out of the tchum, b'mezid, everybody agrees that when it's shaloi bim koimon, which means they are still outside their tchum, everybody agrees you're not allowed to eat them, you just have to leave them till the end of Shabbos. The Tanakam is going to hold that, and Reb Nechemiah is going to hold that. We'll soon see these opinions inside. It's going to be, everyone is going to agree with that. If they were taken out of the tchum b'shoigig, by mistake, then there's going to be a machlokes between the Tanakama and Reb Nechemiah. Tanakama are going to say, since the fruits left, they were taken out, whoever took them out by mistake, not b'mezid. It was done b'shoigig, by mistake. The Tanakama say, you're allowed to eat them, you cannot bring them back into the tchum, but you can eat them where they are. And Reb Nechemiah is going to argue and is going to say, you're not allowed to eat them. That's all regarding the fruits that were taken out of the tchum, and they are now shaloi bim koimum, which means they are outside the tchum. If you took them out b'mezid, everyone agrees you cannot eat them. If you took them out b'sheigug, it's going to be a machlokes. In the event that there's another machlokes or another discussion, what happens if the fruits were brought back? First, till now we discussed if the fruits left b'sheigig or the fruits left b'mezid. If they left b'mezid, you're not allowed to eat them. If they left b'sheigig, it's a machlekes. What happens if they're back in the tchum? They're now called b'mkoimon. And then here again, we can differentiate between whether they came back b'sheigig or if they came back b'mezid. If they came back b'sheigig, irrespective of whether they left b'mezid or they left b'sheigig, if they came back b'sheigig, whoever brought them back by mistake, everybody agrees that you can eat them, and it's as if they never left the Eruv, as if they never left the Tchum. Everyone agrees with that. The question is going to be, if they came back in b'mezid, what's the halacha then? Do we say, now they're back b'mekoimon, they're back in the Tchum, it's as if they never left? Or do we say, no, just a minute, if they came back into the tchum b'mezid, then you're not allowed to eat them? That's going to be the question. We saw Rav Papa says clearly that even if they left b'mezid and they came back b'mezid, that it's ki'ilu lo yotzo, he says it's because they were anusim, and you're allowed to, it's as if they never left. That's Rav Papa. But we're soon going to see a discussion whether if they came back b'mezid, where there's going to be a machlokes in the Gemara, or discussion in the Gemara, whether the Tanoim, the Tanakama, and or Reb Nechemiah, whether they agree that if they came back b'mezid, that it's as if they never left, or if they say no. Since they came back from outside the Tchum, it's an Issa, it came back in b'mezid, you're not allowed to eat them. That's going to be a discussion. In the event that we don't find a Tana that holds like Rav Papa, it's going to be a big question on Rav Papa. If we find any Tana that holds, like Rav Papa said, that if they, even though they left b'mezid and they came back b'mezid, it's as if they never left, then Rav Papa has a Tana behind him. But if all the Tanoim are going to say that only if it came back b'sheigeg, it's as if they never left, but if it came back b'mezid, then you're not allowed to eat them, if all the Tanoim hold that, it's going to be a big question against Rav Papa. Let's see this inside. Eisvei Rav Yosef Bar Shmael or Rav Papa. Rav Yosef Bar Shmael is going to ask from this Braisa on Rav Papa. Rav Nechemya v'Rav Eliezer Ben Yaakov Oimrim, they both hold, La'oilom Asurin, these fruits are always Asa, Ache Yachziru L'mekoimon Shoigigin. Until they, two things. Number one, they come back in. All the while that they're out, it doesn't make any difference to us if they left B'Mezid, if they left B'Shoigig. All the while the fruits are not in the tchum, in the original tchum, it's osa. You're not allowed to, you're not allowed to eat them. You're not allowed. It's osa. If it also came back in the tchum and it came back b'shoigig by mistake, b'shoigig in b'mezid lo. If it came back b'shoigig, then you can eat them. Then it's as if they never left the tchum. So this is clearly not like Rav Papa. Rav Papa says that even if they came back in b'mezid, it's as if they never left. So we have here two Tanoim, Rav Nechemya and Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov, who both say, not like Rav Papa. That's not very good for Rav Papa. Answers the Gemara Tanoihi. It's a Machlekes Tanoim. It's true that Rav Nechemya, who we're going to be talking about now, it's also Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov, but Rav Nechemya, it's true that he holds that if it came back in B'Shoigeg, you can eat it, not if it came back in B'Mezid. But there's a Tanakama who argue with Rav Nechemya, and they say that even if it came back B'Mezid, you're allowed to eat it. And then Rav Papa will be following the Tanakama. But that's going to be a big discussion if indeed there is such a Tanakama. The Tana we saw in the Braisa. Peiros sheyotzu chutz letchum b'shoigeg. And this is the first part of the discussion. If the fruit left the tchum b'shoigeg by mistake, yoichlu, you can't bring them in. But the Tanakama say, yoichlu, you're allowed to eat them. B'mezid, if they left the tchum intentionally b'mezid, lo yoichlu, you're not allowed to eat them. That's the Tanakama talking about leaving the tchum and they are still outside the tchum. Reb Nechemya Oimir, here Reb Nechemya says some ambiguous words. He says, b'mekoimon yoichlu, you're only ever allowed to eat these fruits if they are in their original tchum. Shaloi b'mekoimon, but all the while that they are outside their original tchum, lo yoichlu, you're not allowed to eat them. The Tanakama say that if they left b'shoigeg, you're allowed to eat them outside the tchum. Reb Nechemya says, outside the tchum, it's called shaloi b'mekoimon, you're not allowed to eat them. And the Gemara says, mai b'mekoimon, when he says that you're allowed to eat them when they're b'mekoimon, when they came back into the tchum, then you're allowed to eat them, can we not assume, or let's discuss it, ilem b'mekoimon b'mezid, are you going to say that as long as they came back into the tchum, you can eat it? It doesn't matter how it came back into the tchum. Even if it came back into the tchum b'mezid, you're allowed to eat it. Because that's what Rav Nechemya says, b'mekoimon yoichlu. As long as it's back in the tchum, you can eat it. So you see clearly that according to Rav Nechemya, if it came back b'mezid, you're allowed to eat it. That can't be. It's a contradiction to what we saw 2 minutes ago from Rav Nechemya, that you're only allowed to eat it if it came back b'shoigeg. V'oktoni behedya, we saw in the first braisa we mentioned before, Reb Nechemya v'Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov oimrim, le'oilom asurim, the fruits are always also to be eaten, ad sheyachzuru l'mekoimon shoigegin, until they come back b'shoigeg, by mistake, not intentionally. B'shoigeg in, b'mezid lo, if they came back into the tchum b'mezid, in that case, Reb Nechemya will say, you're not allowed to eat it, even though it's b'mekoimon. If so, Elolav, b'mekoimon, when Reb Nechemya said that b'mekoimon yoichlu, you can eat them when they are back in the tchum, what does that mean? B'mekoimon means b'shoigeg, if it came back in b'shoigeg. And if so, if Reb Nechemya's responding to the Tanakama is, because the words of the Tanakama seem to be, the fruits that left the tchum b'shoigeg, you can eat them outside the tchum, the fruits that left b'mezid, you cannot eat them. Reb Nechemya is now responding on a different topic. He's saying, b'mekoimon yoichlu, if they come back in b'shoigeg, then you can eat it. Shaloi b'mekoimon lo yoichlu. But if they don't come back in, you're not allowed to eat it at all. Which we know, that's Reb Nechemya's opinion. But the fact that Reb Nechemya responded to the Tanakama by saying, b'mekoimon yoichlu, that when they come back in, you can only eat it if it's b'shoigeg, it seems that the Tanakama themselves didn't hold that way. We have to read into the Tanakama a little bit more than it says in the original text. V'achiktoni, this is what we have to read. Peiris sheyotzu chutz letchum b'shoigig, if the fruits left the tchum b'shoigig and they're still outside the tchum, yoichlu, you can eat them there. That we know is the opinion of the Tanakhama. B'meizid, if they left the tchum b'meizid and they're still outside the tchum, lo yoichlu. We know that's the opinion of the Tanakhama. And here's what the Gemara is adding in. B'meh devarim amurim, when is it true that if they left b'meizid, you cannot eat them? Is only shaloi b'mekoimon, it's only if they are still outside the tchum. If they left b'meizid and they're still outside the tchum, you're not allowed to eat it. Avol bim koimon, but if you bring them back into the tchum, afilu b'meizid, even if you bring it back into the tchum b'meizid, yoichlu. As long as they're back in the tchum, you're allowed to eat it. And that's all part of that's the Tanakhama. V'osu Reb Nechemya l'meiman, on that Reb Nechemya is responding and saying, afilu bim koimon, even if you bring it back into the tchum, nami b'shoigig in b'meizid loy, it's only allowed to be eaten if it came back in b'shoigeg, not if it came back in b'meizid. In the same way as you, the Tanakhama, hold that if they left b'shoigeg, you can eat it outside the tchum. If it left b'meizid, you cannot eat it outside the tchum. Then I don't agree with that, says Reb Nechemya. I agree that if it's outside the tchum, you can never eat it. But the same way as you, Tanakhama, made the difference between Shoigig and Meizid regarding when it left and it's still outside the tchum, I'm saying the same when it comes back in. That if it came back in b'Shoigig, then you can eat it. If it came back in b'Meizid, you cannot eat it. So what do we see from here? We see there's an explicit Tanakhama that holds that if it came back in b'Meizid, even though it left b'Meizid, if it came back in even b'Meizid, you're allowed to eat it. Reb Nechemya argued. But Tanakhama say that b'meizid, even if it came back in b'meizid, you can eat it. So then, that's an opinion that Rav Papa can be following, and that's what the Gemara meant when it said Tanoihi. You asked a question that Rav Nechemya is arguing with Rav Papa in that first brisa. The answer is you're right. Rav Nechemya does argue with Rav Papa, but Rav Nechemya has a Tanakhama who argues with him, and Rav Papa is following those Tanakhama. Says the Gemara, Loi, you do not have such a Tanakhama. No. How are we learning it? B'meizid b'mkoimon d'kule almaloi pligi d'asa. It could be that the way we can learn this whole brisa is that if it came back in b'meizid, even the Tanakhama will agree to Reb Nechemya that you cannot eat it. So what's the argument between Reb Nechemya and the Tanakhama? V'hacha b'shoigeg shaloi b'mkoimon pligi. They're only arguing when it left the tchum, is shaloi b'mkoimon, it did not yet come back, and it left b'shoigeg. Tanakhama sova, the Tanakhama hold, b'shoigeg shori, shaloi b'mkoimon. The Tanakhama hold, as we saw, the last line of Mem Aleph Omid Beis, peiris sheyotzu chutz l'tchum b'shoigeg, yeichlu, if they left the tchum b'shoigeg, you're allowed to eat them outside the tchum. Tanakhama sova b'shoigeg shori shaloi b'mkoimon, Reb Nechemya sova, Reb Nechemya comments and says, b'mkoimon yoichlu, they have to come back in. Shaloi b'mkoimon lo yoichlu. If it's shaloi b'mkoimon, if it's outside the tchum, you're not allowed to eat them, even if they left the tchum b'shoigeg. Afilu b'shoigeg, even if they left b'shoigeg. B'mkoimon in, shaloi b'mkoimon lo. But you're only allowed to eat them when it's b'mkoimon, if it came back in, all the while it's outside the tchum, even if it left b'shoigeg, you cannot eat it. And that's the machlekes. So the whole machlekes of Nechemya and the Tanakhama is only whilst they're outside the tchum. But it could be that everybody agrees that if it came back into the tchum b'meizid, you're not allowed to eat them. And then the question comes back. We have nobody who's to follow that. Rav Papa's not following any Tana. Rav Papa said, even if it came back b'oinus, you're allowed to eat them. Even if it came back b'meizid, you're allowed to eat them. The way we're explaining this brisa now, we have nobody behind Rav Papa. Says the Gemara, no. V'hamidik toni sefer. Let's get back to what the Gemara calls the sefer, but it's that first brisa that Rav Yosef Bar Shmaya first quoted against Rav Papa. From the term there, what does it say? Reb Nechemya v'Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov oimrim l'oilom asurin al sheyachzuru l'mekoimon shoigim. The terminology that it's always also to eat the fruits until they come back b'shoigeg, shoigeg in meizid loy. That it's Reb Nechemya is saying that it's only ever allowed to be eaten if they came back in b'shoigeg. from that term, Rabbi Nechemiah didn't just say that b'mekoimon it's muta, shaloi b'mekoimon is asa. He said it's only ever asa if it came back b'shoigig, and it seems to be something unique to Rabbi Nechemiah. Michlal de Tanakama Sovar, b'meizid namishori. It seems from the term, from the phrases of that braisa, that only Rabbi Nechemiah who actually needs and has this condition that you can eat the fruits only if it came back in b'shoigig. It seems that the Tanakama, those who argue with Rabbi Nechemiah, they hold that even if it came back not b'shoigig, it came back b'meizid, you're also allowed to eat it. Shma mina. So then we have a Tanak, it seems from the braises that the Tanakama hold that if it came back b'meizid, you're still allowed to eat them. And this is the same as what Rav Papa said. So there's no question on Rav Papa, how's he arguing with Rabbi Nechemiah? The Tanakama are all saying the same as what Rav Papa is saying. And the Mirat Hashem in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.